sexy. So that's how we started the first podcast.
Oh.
And theme music.
How many children was
who was that? Who said that?
My mom.
That's true. Oh my gosh.
Me.
Can they hear the fact that I'm blushing?
Who said
you?
That?
Touch the Muppet baby.
Teresa.
May the force be with you.
Joseph
Barrett. Because when I die, it's going to piss me off.
That's Courtney Pong.
Picturing
I didn't know that.
My 2-year-old, the freedom to get all red-faced in the middle of the living room and just launch some ass candy into his
Bill Glass?
Oh.
I never want to eat candy again.
Kevin Miller?
I got in here twice.
It's like, she's like, why are you such an ass?
Kira Sultanovich?
And
now look at us. We're doing an iPod in the dining room.
Natalie Worsham?
And some British chick.
I don't know.
Barbara Ace, the 100th episode.
100
Woo!
Episodes.
Yeah.
Hello and welcome to the 100th episode of Second Funniest Podcast. My name is Justin Worsham.
Hi.
And with me, as always, is the one, the only, the early adopter, thekevinmiller.com. Thekevinmiller.com. The phone is ringing. Can you do me a favor? Just let me see what it says.
Sure. Hold
on. I want to know what the caller ID says. I don't know who that is.
I don't either.
So I'm going to let it slide.
Oh,
did we just broadcast? Oh, we couldn't hear you.
No, it's okay.
We just broadcast somebody's phone number.
What could possibly go wrong?
If you did hear that number, don't be a jackass and call it because it could be a tenant here and you can get me
we'll
in a lot of trouble.
Bleep it out. Or we'll hypnotize everybody. Do we get one of those hypnotizer things?
I like that idea.
Sends out a meta message as
so,
they listen.
We have a lot of things to talk about.
Oh, it's the 100th episode.
Was that theme
song? Where have
song?
We been?
Because, we have voicemails.
Where are we going? It's
yes.
my birthday today.
Your birthday is today.
Christmas is in 4 days.
Oh, my gosh. Wait, this usually comes out on a Sunday. Do you want me to release it on the
no.
birthday?
My birthday was on Tuesday, the 21st of December, the winter solstice.
But I'm saying maybe this will come out on the 19th.
Okay. It comes out, 2 days before.
Yeah.
This Sunday is my birthday.
Wow. Somebody really needs to get a hold of me. I hope it's not a maintenance emergency. I'm going to hit pause on the 100th episode to see what this is.
We'll be right back.
And we're back. All right.
Yeah, that was amazing.
So, I don't know what to say. Here's the thing. I'm a property manager, as we all know, of an apartment building.
Yep.
And evidently, the police showed up to speak to one of the tenants. So that's all I'm going to go into. That's why we interrupted the show.
Yeah. And they were like the guys from Chips, right?
No.
No, they were the guys from CSI?
No.
Yeah?
Slightly less attractive.
Oh.
One of them, I believe, had
younger
man boobs
too. Yeah, they were.
Yeah, younger than those guys.
That's what disturbs me is when I have interactions with cops now and they're younger than I am by like 10 years, and I'm like, oh, and they call me sir, or they'll be really condescending. And I'm like, what is this all about?
I don't feel right. I don't like the way this is going. So I'm hoping we won't get interrupted, but they're supposed to report in with me later on. So I'm going to apologize in advance
if
we have to interrupt.
Of the cocaine.
Can't remember what we were talking about.
All the things that are happening. We have Christmas coming up.
Yeah, your birthday. We were talking about that.
You have lots of information to release. You're going to tell us what you got me for Christmas.
That's right.
We're going to talk about what I got Natalie, what Kat and I got Natalie
That's
for
right.
Christmas.
I got that for your birthday. I haven't gotten you a Christmas present.
Oh, well, you're not a gift-giving guy, though.
No.
It's not your gift set.
Mm-mm.
It's not your love language.
Mm-mm.
But that's okay. Not everybody's into that.
Would you prefer that I was?
No.
Okay.
No. It's who you are.
I'm a giving person, I think.
Very different thing.
Yeah.
But you're not a guy who's like, oh, here's a season for giving. I want to give a thing. I want to really make them feel special on gift times. The flip side of that also is that you're not huge into receiving them. There are a few gifts that mean something to you, which is sucks because I think of great gifts to get you all the time. And your wife, like the one I gave her.
Yes.
And I knew it was going to be a great gift. Most men would have been reduced to tears when I gave it to their wives.
I was very close. I mean, and I know we joke about how sensitive I am, but it's I was very touched. Natalie and I talked about it a lot. That
it was a baby.
It was very. That's right. Nobody knows what we're talking about. Good point. So what the story goes that when Natalie and I bought our house in Modesto, sorry, I thought I heard a door knock on the door. When Natalie and I bought our house in Modesto, we had no money. The very first Christmas, I thought, oh, how cool would it be if I bought us a Christmas tree that I saw at a hardware store? It was just this $25 fake tree, and it was another 10 bucks, I think, for a string of lights, and that would have been perfect. So I
and
bought
it. It was like a 2-foot tree.
Yeah. I bought it, and I took it home, and I decorated it with the lights, knowing that she had ornaments somewhere in the house, and I know that it would be fun for her and I to decorate our first Christmas tree, but this was a nice little surprise gift for her.
Gosh, that was that long ago.
So, yeah, this would have been 2002 or 3?
Yeah, somewhere in there.
Somewhere around
there. The dark years. Yeah, I remember.
So, anyway, then when we moved, we kept that tree from when we moved to Burbank, Canoga Park, then Burbank, then North Hollywood. Then while we were in North Hollywood, we knew we were moving here to the, it's a bigger place and everything. And I was like, you know what? Let's get rid of this whole tree. It sits there in this box. There's no way to self-contain it and stack things on top of it. Its little top is always sticking out of some box that she has with the rest of
really
our
funny.
Christmas decorations. And I said, we can have a new tradition of going out and getting a tree at a tree lot. You know, we have enough room in this new place that we're living in. And so she was like, so you had more of an issue, I think, than she did, unless I'm
She was sad. No, she even said she wanted to take a picture with it.
Yeah.
And felt sad. And when we actually, when you walked it to the curb, you did an experiment that you walked it towards the door with the rest of the trash to see whether or not she'd break, is how you knew whether or not you could get away with throwing it away. And since she didn't completely melt, you knew you were going to be able to throw it away. But she was visibly bummed that it was going to be tossed and missed it.
So, but you, I remember you fighting when we were moving. I remember you saying, well, why can't, just keep this tree and put it in a different room. And I was like,
I don't want to throw things away.
I don't want to keep stuff.
It's my gift set.
Yeah, I don't want to keep stuff.
Collect things from the past.
All I need to do is remember it. If it's a big enough thing, if it's that important to me, I'll remember it. Yeah. If I forget it, it's not that important. Mm. So I don't need to keep it.
Yeah, you hate things.
So I don't hate things.
You're just a hater. It's okay. Not everybody loves.
I'm very sensitive.
No, you're fashionably sensitive, but too cool to care.
Fashionably sensitive, but too cool to care?
Alanis Morissette.
I know, right? I don't know what that means. More on that later.
The trend is that you're sensitive, but you're too cool to actually be compassionate. There's a difference between being sensitive.
That's the part that I find, and I know that I'm sensitive about certain things,
The lyric is that you're sensitive when your feelings are hurt, but you're not sensitive towards other people's feelings.
Ooh, that's interesting.
That's what the line is saying. You're fashionably sensitive, but too cool to care.
Oh, you are quoting Alanis Morissette.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that either.
You're fashionably sensitive, but too cool to care. Yeah? No? Do you like my strumming guitar?
But I don't... I'm trying to think. I don't know that it's completely fair either to say that I don't care about other people's feelings. Here's the thing.
Oh, I think you do.
There are certain things that I think are foolish for people to care about, and I think that it's a better thing for them to... different moments. I have moments where I think it's better for them for me to try to help them to not care about whatever
it is.
Oh,
it's Jewel. I'm sorry. It's not. Apparently, it's Jewel. Go ahead.
And then there are things that I think aren't important, and they affect my life. That's the case of this Christmas tree. I know my wife well enough that she's caught up in the moment.
Good segue back into our topic. I'm impressed.
I wish I could say it was intentional. I know her well enough that when we get rid of this tree, when we get the first real tree that's about 4 or 5 feet tall, she's going to love it. You know what I mean? Like, she's going to be like, oh, and this is going to be our new thing. And we were going to go with our son and all that stuff. But she, in the moment, she's like, no. Just like when we got rid of Rocky. Like, I would have given him to a family. I would have just found somebody here in L.A.
Anybody
no
in
connection. LA, I would have said, I would have met them. I mean, because
didn't have to have ties with them or feel that you would need to be able to see the dog in the future.
No. Natalie had to give it to her parents so that we could, if something changed where we could get him back, we were going to take him back. All this stuff. And it's like, in my opinion, the dog would have been better off if we would have found some lesbian couple here in Los Angeles. They would have taken the dog to the dog park, walked him, fed him everything he wanted. They might not have had children of their own, so it would have been, he would have received all of their love and affection. And now, instead, he sits on a carpet in a nice house and gets fed human food. I mean, I'm sure the dog is very happy.
And humans.
And he's just fat as all get out. Had to get a new collar. The dog is so fat now.
Oh, he was a lean pup, too.
Yeah, he did. Well, because he went on an hour walk every day and hardly ate.
Caesar Milan is spinning in his grave.
And which is causing Milan to almost die. And so he gets beef broth on all this food now.
Man.
It's stupid. But anyway, so it's the same thing with the dog. I knew this was trees. So I put the tree in the trash. We move in here, and Kevin says, I got something for you for Christmas. I'm going to bring it by on such and such day. We're going to hang out on this day. He comes in, and he says, now, you are either going, he said, you are going to be angry at me. Natalie is going to love it. I think you said Jacob may not care.
Yeah, I think I said it. Jacob's going to like it. Natalie's going to love it, and you're going to hate me.
Yeah. So then Kevin comes back in with, at first sight, it was just a little Christmas tree, but and I knew, because I knew you, it was our Christmas tree. He had gone back, dug it out of the trash. What I also liked about this story was that Natalie had this little, like, foam core container that she got a gift basket for the shower, I think, in. That I also said, we need to just get rid of this. Kevin thought that was our tree stand. So he took that out of the trash as well and did a very sweet thing in taking tons of pictures from our history and decorating the base, which he thought was the base, but it was just a container. And then also making
base.
It's great. And also making all these ornaments made entirely out of pictures. My dad is the angel, which I thought was also hilarious. There's pictures of us from Star Trek. There's pictures of Jacob in the hospital, pictures from the wedding, pictures of people from this podcast. Kira Sultanovich holding Jacob is on there.
He's not too amused.
Jacob is not amused with her.
In that picture, he's like, who is this lady?
She's a baby now.
I could have swore the thing was part of it, because I remember one of the reasons why you're ready to throw it away is because you held up the base and it was cracked. And you're like, oh, well, that seals the deal. We're throwing it away. But maybe you were just talking about the base.
I was talking about that container, thing. That
which I just
she loves. Like, we got two picnic basket sets for our wedding, and I wanted to use them for picnic things.
That's the point of those, isn't
it? Yep.
Yeah.
She uses them for containers.
Oh, well, that's
so
cool.
One of them sits next to her bed. It was right here next to the couch. That's why I pointed. Sorry. Oh. One of them sits next to her bed, holds the alarm clock, but in it is just filled with junk from our past. Another one is used now for Jacob's diapers and stuff. Baskets are her thing. She gets it from her mother.
Yeah, women love baskets. Yeah. Kat and I went to IKEA and bought a new bookshelf for what will become our study. We're calling it a study instead of an office. And when we got it home and assembled, and it looks very cool, but it's, you know, it's a lot of right angles and black and white colors and things. But I intentionally bought baskets. I'm like, do you want baskets? Cause you know, IKEA is completely interchangeable. So you can buy these baskets that fit perfectly on the bookshelves and they look like it's part of it. And she's like, well, do you think we could maybe make little decorative signs to hang on the cabinet doors of the bookshelf? And I was like, well, maybe, but that's very feminine. And she goes, well, this whole bookshelf thing is very masculine. I'm like, except the baskets. That's not masculine. Like, I made that concession before we walked out of the store to get you something that you wanted. You want to girl up the study.
Oh, I'm so excited for you.
Yeah, it's great.
I'm loving every minute.
Can't wait for a full year of marriage.
Yep. It's going to be great. It's going to be exciting. I was thinking about that a lot. You have different issues entirely from what I have. Although you have them, I think, at a different time. But
well, that's the thing. And we're also older than you guys were when you got married. But, you know, we interviewed several couples before getting married within our community to get feedback and stuff. And it was fascinating to even hear their different perspectives on marriage and how they line things up. Because if you...
Now, did you separate them, like, a la the honeymooner game or honeymoon... What, newlywed game?
We went on different nights to different houses. So we actually met with Joseph Barkley and his wife for 4 nights.
But you never met with just Joseph Barkley and just his wife.
No, we did it in
teams. Why would you talk to that asshole? About, he's probably better at marriage than everything else, or what?
No. Well, a little. I mean, he's written several books on it. He's an accredited doctor towards marriage and family.
What?
No, I just made all that up.
All right, good.
Definitely stumbled you.
No, it didn't stumble me. I was going to say, hold on. I would want to first research that doctorate.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I find it very easy to that he would just assume that he could help all these people with marriages.
Now,
if he could help us with a compressor, then he's like, let me help you with your marriage.
Second of all, don't you think after 100 episodes, 60 of which you've talked about how much you hate this man, that you'd be able to let it go by now? He was supposed to be on tonight, but he couldn't make it.
That's probably better. That's probably for the better. That's probably good for all of us. I mean, because here's the thing. I think that the people listening to this show, the nerd as we call it, they like the fact that I don't like him. I think they understand why.
Do you understand? I work with him every day. Like, I see him 5 days a week. He counseled my wife and I in premarital.
I understand it on a daily basis. I have to use that to remind myself that
we're not that good of friends. Is that what you're saying?
No, that I am that good of a friend.
Oh,
that I overlook your resistance to cut this guy off completely, just dissect him from your life.
He's also my boss. Like,
exactly. That's where I mostly show compassion. Uh-huh. I guess is that I go, you know what? He's got to deal with this guy 40 hours a week. I only have to think about him once a week, if that.
Well, when we bring it up on the show, yeah.
Yeah.
He has a blog you could read. You should read his blog.
No.
It's pretty good.
I'll listen to his podcast. Okay. I'm a big fan of sermons. I think that's his thing. If he stopped there, if he was like, I feel like Joseph Barclay needs to be like Abraham Lincoln at the Lincoln exhibit when it existed.
It's still there.
Right. Okay.
You're talking about Disneyland?
Yeah. When the curtain goes down, it's not like Abraham Lincoln is up talking to the people backstage at, you know, Disneyland. You know what I mean? It's only he has his moment where he sits in the chair and talks, and then he stands up and takes 2-3 steps
forward.
He's not
Buzz Lightyear, you're saying, or Darth Vader at Disneyland, who, when they're done being on stage, they take off their helmet and watch TV in the break room.
Yeah.
You want him to be an animatronic entertainment that just sits there.
I'm not saying that Joseph Barclay should be a robot. I'm saying that
animatronic is different than robot.
I guess what I'm saying is he has his wheelhouse.
Yeah.
He should stick to it. That's all I'm saying. The man gives a great sermon.
During Christmas, we're doing a 3-part series on the Bible's perspective of Jesus from 3 different angles of who he is as a Messiah. Might be interesting.
From 3 different angles?
Yeah. Jesus as the baby, how is it broken down? I'm forgetting. Like, from the perspective of the Jews and what Jesus meant to them, from the perspective of...
When he arrived
as a
because
baby.
Because before he became a grown-up Jesus, Christianity did not exist.
There was no such thing.
Yeah.
In fact, the earliest, like, I don't even think... Yeah, the earliest believers in Christ were not Christians. They were Jews who believed in the Messiah. That's what they would have called. They
wouldn't
have
thought. Does he answer this accusation that that Jesus' real birthday happened in April?
Yeah, I don't know if we're going to talk about that.
And that Christmas Day is actually... Oh, hold on. I have to take
April 25th. Pause.
Okay, we're back. And the episode
April 25th. Am I still on? Oh, I don't have to keep one ear open anymore.
Yeah.
Because the police are gone.
Yeah.
This is the most exciting 100th episode we've ever done.
Everybody's
there was a criminal court case. Matlock was
involved.
Here.
This is awesome. Just so, for the sake of not being... I don't know why I feel like I have to be completely honest with listeners, but I like that relationship.
It's kind of who you are as a person, though. You over-explain things, and that's why you lose... people in your life, like
who
was that one comedian that how much you appreciated?
Well, he wasn't really in my life to begin with. It's not like
you paid money to see him be funny, and then
because I enjoyed his comedy,
and then
but
you're like, hey,
I really like
which I have a friend from church who's in Uncle Clyde's comedy contest.
Oh, really?
And I want an email and be like, good luck, sister.
Yeah,
good luck.
It's a chick,
Gingia. She's reasonably funny.
Gingy. I feel like I know that name.
You might.
I might have been.
Red hair, glasses.
Anyway, so nothing big with the cops. Everything was fine. Big misunderstanding. I don't live in a building where cops and criminals live. Mm-hmm. Cops live here. There's one cop lives here.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Retired?
No.
Oh.
No, currently.
Retired cops are cool when they have, like, psychiatrist sons.
No, I like this cop. He's a good guy. And he likes living. He lives. It's weird because he lives outside of the city because it's safe for him here.
Yeah.
Like, he doesn't, you don't live where you work, I guess, as a cop.
Of course not. But that commute sucks.
Nah, it's not that. He does nights.
When I work at the church, so every time I walk into church on Sundays, I just look around and see, I got to close that door. I should clean up that little puddle there. Those guys aren't doing their job the way I asked them to. I wonder if you're the same way when you drive into work as a police officer. You're walking in, you're like, crap.
Speeding.
I'm going to have to come back and deal with it. Clearly, it's a break-in.
No, I don't
guy's
think he,
doing meth.
I think he's traffic. That's what he does. So
well, that's even worse. He's like,
he notices, but he seems like he's the one who made me kind of feel like, and it's stupid of me, but he made me feel like I could do that.
Because you could do that. You'd make an excellent cop.
I think so. Natalie won't let me because she'd be afraid for my safety.
We would be awesome cops. We should make that out. I would love
to be a cop. Here's where I don't think I would be very good is that there's a lot of paperwork and bureaucracy involved with the paperwork. Yeah. I would hate that part of it.
Would be fun, though.
I would enjoy
communicating and
Here's what I would enjoy. Yep. I would enjoy filling out a report, having some jack off fight me on a ticket that I think he deserved to have, and then losing it and figuring out the process of how to make sure I nail the bastard next time.
Yeah.
What's up, dude? Jacob? Oh, Lightning McQueen.
Wow. He came down in his pajamas and his little haircut combed over.
Jacob has a new fascination with his pajamas. Like, it's very important to him what he's wearing and even clothes-wise and all that stuff. So pajamas are a new fight. What particular pajamas he's going to
I think
wear.
That's a sign of his identity starting to come in. You know, because he's starting to get upset. He gets embarrassed. This isn't the Dads Are More Fun podcast.
You're right. I'm sorry.
Talk about the second funniest thing in your life.
So anyway, I was talking about this guy about the cop stuff. And here's the other thing I would love. I would love to tase people. I would love to tase a drunk person.
Yeah.
That's what I don't know that I would be good because He didn't say whether or not they have a quota that they have to do. Like, he didn't, I hinted to, it was like, you know, people always say, oh, they have to have quotas or blah, blah, blah.
No.
And he just didn't answer it, but he didn't seem to be avoiding it either.
The way I've heard it is that it's not so much a quota as they do have a status.
It's
a
job performance thing.
Yeah, exactly. Like, if you're not turning anybody in, they're going to be like, well, you know, what are you doing?
Well, I think it's a part of your evaluation.
Exactly.
You know, it's like it's the status thing.
I think the quota would go the other way. If for some reason you have twice as many, they'd be like, maybe you should rein it in.
Yeah. Or transfer via motorcycle cop.
Because, again, working at the church, I found that police work might be interesting to me because of the desire. Your point is to keep things in order, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the problem with that job is that it never stays in order. You're constantly running around trying to, it's like sticking your finger in the dike, trying to keep it from overflowing the city. And I'm noticing over time, I'm getting a little tired of trying to maintain a machine that is built to break down constantly.
And if you watch cops a lot, like I do, you learn that you're constantly working with the same people.
Yeah, that's all. Exactly.
Often.
I found that because now we have a large number of homeless people that are coming into our church. Because we're right on the boulevard. Hollywood is the homeless capital of Los Angeles and the West. There are more homeless people live in Hollywood per capita than any other city.
Yeah, but those guys are trying to back sitcoms. They heard the Tom Hanks story. They heard the Jay Leno story. They're like, well, I don't have a fucking car.
I wish to our Lord in heaven they were as zany and fun to talk to as Tom Hanks. These
Not
are
everybody
nutty.
Can be.
These are nutty, nutty guys that are lost and sad. And
I feel like every time an actor is successful, they should just say, I did it because I'm amazing. You know what I mean? Instead of saying
thanking some magical thing or some fate or them, you know, some thing, some kismet turn, like, and then they feed this thing that anybody can do it.
Yeah.
Like, oh, well, you know, you just got to have a dream and hitch a star. Like, that's bull. That's not how it works at all.
Well, it's American story. You come from...
Why do we obsess over success? I just don't understand. It's a golden idol that you chase after and it's a ghost. It's a chasing after the wind, as King Solomon said.
Chasing after the wind is going after success?
It's you're trying to chase after something that doesn't exist. Because when are you successful enough? What does it really achieve for you?
Yeah, I think that's what drives... There are people that drive... I'm sorry. There
so
are people that is what drives them, like, and it works out for them. Like, you know, people who have strong work ethics, and I think that's a great thing. I think it's a great thing for America. I think it's a great thing for the workforce. I think it's very imperative that we have people that push like that, as long as they don't have kids.
See, no, I disagree. I think there's a difference between having a work ethic where you are doing your job the way you should, and there's a difference between that and putting your job first, or by oversight, or pouring everything about yourself into it.
But there are a lot of people I think what you're imagining in your head is that a person who is doing that and having this constant feeling that they're not fulfilled.
But
there are people who are fulfilled by that process.
And I know, but I think we also strap that expectation onto everybody else.
Yeah.
So you go to Mexico, you go to Puerto Rico or Guadalajara, and you meet these people that are perfectly fine fishing enough for the one day's worth of food, and that's it. And they're excellent fishermen, and at the end of the evening, they go home and spend the night with their family. Mm-hmm. And then they go out the next morning
fish. That's what fulfills them.
That's culturally, it's acceptable. Here in America, it's not okay.
Oh, no way.
Yeah.
No way.
Yeah.
No way.
I'm saying that most people would
culturally
see that.
In America, what everybody is fighting and what everybody complains about is if two adults in a household have to work, because what everybody wants to be able to do is, and it's in every advertisement of every online college or whatever. I could stay home with my kids more. That's what everybody wants to do. Who wants a family?
But they want.
There is a specific subset that I think is a very small percentage of the population that lives to work and works to live.
But the factor that you're missing in that is that they want money.
Yeah.
They want to be able to do all those things and live and stay at home and still go out and buy all the crap that they don't need. These fishermen that I'm describing don't do that. They go out, they get fish, they bring it home, they cook it with their family, and they enjoy the evening, and that's it. They don't buy a big screen TV. They don't install a spa in their bathroom. They don't need every cable television.
Right, but I don't think every middle-class family that puts in a big screen TV and a spa is also neglecting their children.
I'm not suggesting that. I'm just saying that.
Because I grew up in that house.
I know you did. There's just a pressure on those middle-class families and an expectation that they should be striving for success.
For the ones who are uneducated.
I think it's greater than you give expectations. You are on the outside.
You yourself said that I travel the world because that's my audience. These are the people that I'm talking
Your
to.
Your rednecky friends.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, yeah. And I know the different subsets between the blue-collar lifestyle. There are people who have their wits about them. And like my brother, I think, is a prime example of this. Mm-hmm. My brother... he goes out and he works. He has a job that he likes to do. Mm-hmm. He's not going to be making six figures in his lifetime, mm-hmm. and he's okay with that. And he lives his life to go to his kids' functions and to go out and kill deer every once in a while.
I will ask you this question, and it will prove or disprove my case.
Okay.
And you do not have to get into specifics. It's a simple yes or no question.
Mm-hmm.
Does your brother carry a large amount of debt?
Does he carry a large amount of debt? It's a little unfair,
yeah,
because it's not his fault.
Okay, but...
You know what I'm saying?
But the answer is yes.
The answer is yes.
So?
But it's not his fault, though.
Why? You see what I'm saying? Someone forced him to charge.
What I'm saying is...
Somebody grab the credit card out of his hand and say, you will buy all of these books that you don't need from this door-to-door salesman.
Okay, then I will answer your question in that way. No, he does not... He does not carry a large amount of debt because he does not need anything.
Okay.
He needs what he has.
Okay.
That's what he is an American version of what your Guadalajara fisherman are.
That sounds very real. I would believe that there's a large number of those people.
He has an above ground pool in his backyard.
Of course he does. He has a
trailer that he uses to go camping with his family.
Ditto.
There are things that he spends money on that aren't necessary to his living, but that he does for fun. He spends money on goats for his kids to show.
Sure.
And things like that.
But you're saying he doesn't go out and buy expensive cars or family vacations.
There's a middle class mentality of a person who is fighting to get out of the middle class. And they're what I would call the entrepreneur. They're trying to create their own business. They work in probably some kind of a trade usually.
Yeah.
And then what they're doing is they're working to get to a point where they can do that trade and have their own company.
Right.
The one thing that I think is missing within the our culture, and I think it works well in capitalism, is like an apprenticeship type program in the sense that the apprenticeship used to be serving within the industry and the master. It served the guy teaching as much as it did the student.
Yeah.
Now it's getting to a point where the student is taking advantage of the master try and oust them later.
And that's another thing that I have an issue with is that it seems like every time you have an idea or something that you can be good at or anytime you're just... you should be trying to make it into a business.
Yeah.
If you can do that, you should be trying to turn that into a business.
Yeah.
And it's not only is it impossible because we're in a time where corporate America controls everything, they'll squeeze out your little mom and pop shop that sells frames.
I don't think it's impossible. I think everything started off that way. Walmart started off that way.
But see, there are so many laws now written that just squash small businesses from getting off the ground. It makes it almost impossible.
No.
Ooh, there's
I've opened a small business, multiple small businesses.
I understand, but you've opened up small businesses that have not been squeezed out by laws yet in the area where you wouldn't have been able to invent the small business that you did up in Modesto down here in L.A. because of the laws.
Yeah, you could have.
The laws against creating your own entertainment-based company in Los Angeles are so much more infringing than they are up in Modesto.
But here's the thing, though. I think that there's still a way to do it. Here's what I believe. I believe that taxes can hurt you as a small business, someone starting out. But as far as the laws as to whether or not your business is worth creating, I don't think that can ever get in your way.
I think
you want to create a business, you could just decide, I'm going to create a business and I'm going to do it. Because here's also what helps the system, too, is that if I do it and I'm starting out, nobody's really going to notice me until I'm substantial. And by the time I'm substantial and standing on my own, I mean, because here's what I could have done with the Unscriptables in Modesto, is I could have just not paid any taxes. The municipality would have never known any better.
Right.
I could have just claimed it as self-employed income, like I do with my stand-up now, and just done it under a sole proprietorship. But I decided not to do that. Yeah. Well, what just happened?
I was loading up the video I want to reference, but go on.
This is great for 100th episode.
I know.
I just realized.
We're getting into a strong debate. Here's all what I'm referencing. A lot of the information I know is from a website called Institute for Justice. Let's see if there's a good website for them. I can't find it here. But they talk about, you actually would geek out about a lot of this stuff in these laws that exist all over the country that are built to squeeze out small businesses. There's a very poignant and witty cartoon on YouTube called Why Chuck Can't Get His Business Off the Ground. It's about 5 minutes long. I suggest you check it out, and you will learn. You will learn what I'm talking about.
All right.
It will educate
you. Are
you
talking to me or the listener?
Both. Let's get on to funny stuff. You gave me Star Trek paraphernalia for my birthday.
I gave you a Enterprise pizza cutter.
I would love to turn that into a small business, but I can't.
Why?
Well, because there are all these laws that are written about it.
You can't because you don't have the drive and determination.
No, that is
laws,
what I'm talking about.
The laws are what you use as the excuse to just throw your hands in the air.
That's the exact lie.
The laws are the same as math in our education system. It's the filter.
Please use that.
It's the filter.
What are you talking about?
I'm saying this is what happened. This is one of the things I picked up when I was on the path to become an elementary school teacher. We were learning basic arithmetic, not even really getting to the point of modeling.
Shouldn't you have already known that?
Yes. Yes. Here it comes. Not even learning the models.
Yeah.
Now, a model is the term in education where you would say, this is how you could teach basic arithmetic.
Yeah.
That's a model. And so we took this test on basic logic and arithmetic, and some of the people within the class had a problem with it. And so we were going over the test like we always would. And at one point, there was some people were having a lot of questions, and the teacher said, at this point in this class, he said, he goes, if you are having a real hard time with this, you may want to consider a different career path.
Oh, wow.
And there was a gasp from the audience, from the class.
Yeah.
And he explained, he like looked at them like they were insane. And I was so happy that this teacher did what his job is to do.
Yeah.
And that is to educate people.
Yeah.
Not just to get up and lecture about math, but to educate people.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that he should also be talking about science. I'm saying that he explained why he's doing what he's doing and why what he is doing is where it is.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, would you want somebody teaching your 8-year-old daughter arithmetic if they didn't understand it themselves? It's common sense, people. If you have a hard time with this, I'm not judging you. I'm saying this isn't the job for you. We as a society have decided that math is the filter for intelligence. He said, you ask a doctor whether or not what math they had to take. Every doctor has to take calculus. You ask them when the last time they used calculus, and they'll say their last year of general education.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, because it's not applicable to their profession. But we as a society decide that someone who is a doctor should be intelligent enough to be able to understand calculus. That's why they have to take calculus.
Makes sense.
End of that. So my example here is, they have these things because I'm imagining somebody created a website because they had a hard time starting a business and it was a struggle, and it is a natural thing for any of us to do. I'm saying I've done it. Anybody's done it. I'm not saying I'm better than these people.
Right.
But to point a finger and say, my business failed because the government doesn't want my business
in
to
In some of the cases in the video, we'll reference these as well. They actually do point to places where the government will tell you no.
Yeah.
Despite how much drive, there's like lotteries for you to get licensed for things and throughout a year.
Well,
But
if you're talking about your business as a bar, then yes, I will
that's
concede
what I'm
that. Yeah.
So, and that's what it goes into more detail. And there's all sorts of random laws in different areas. But see, the issue with what the moral compass that you're using is that the drive is the determining factor of whether or not you succeed. It simply says that if you want something bad enough, you're going to get it, and that's a lie. And that's what The Secret tells you, and The Secret is that it's a lie. It doesn't matter how badly you want
it. I don't think The Secret tells you whether or not if you want it bad enough, you'll get it. The Secret tells you that if you avoid, which I think is even worse, I do believe that if you want something bad enough, you will continue to fight to it, and that the way that it works is that if you can't do it, you're going to constantly just keep getting beaten down until you decide you don't want to do it anymore.
Hmm.
That's natural selection within professions.
And then if you're just looking at it objectively, as in the field that you're worried about, the cream will rise to the top because only the people that really want it will break through. But if you look at the individuals, that's detrimental. That can kill a person, because you look at Hillary Clinton in that sketch at SNL. You need to want it enough to become president. And Hillary Clinton said, played by Amy Poehler, that's it. I just didn't want it enough. That's all that came down to it. I just didn't want it enough. And sometimes it's not about how much you wanted it. It's whether or not God wanted it. And not your drive has nothing to do with it.
I think that's true for a person of faith. But I think a person who is not of faith derives their passion, their drive, and their will from their own. Like, because this is another example, for instance, my grandparents, they don't vote because they figure God's going to decide who the president is going to be.
No, that's silly.
That's not the same thing.
But what I'm saying is that those poor suckers that move from nowhere, Indiana, to come to L.A. to become big, famous actors that come out here, and they may want it as hard as they can, and they just change everything about their life and obsess over becoming an actor. Eventually they're going to fail because there's only so many people that can be successful professional actors. So statistically, they're just, before they even step foot into the city, they've already failed. But they will sit here for 5-6 years mooching off of unemployment and bouncing out of job to job and continuing to make Los Angeles a negative, self-important city. And they've lost before they've walked in the door.
I don't think so.
Oh, I watch it day every day.
But you're watching it within your subset. To say that the entire spectrum of actors and whatever talent or whatever production, writers, whatever, moves into L.A., that the minute they step foot off the plane, that they are destined to fail. what I mean?
It's like playing
because
the lottery.
Because people succeed. It's not the lottery, though.
It is the lottery.
It isn't the lottery. there is an aspect of luck involved in it. I'll give you that. But, I mean, there are loopholes around everything. To me, the most obvious example of this is Larry Lawrence. The most obvious example is that is a man who, as you and I would define him, was completely delusional about his abilities, in our opinion, right?
Yeah.
Now, as much as we mock and poke and prod about how he doesn't understand it, the man moved to L.A. and within months was booking national commercials. I've seen him on national television, late night talk shows. Now, granted, it's not in the light of what he's... No. He was featured on Jimmy Kimmel Live and almost became, you know what I'm saying?
That's fair. But as a joke, and now on Jimmy Kimmel, he was a tour guide for the buses, and he still hasn't hit the mark that he wanted, and I'll bet he doesn't.
We don't know that.
I don't think he lives in the city still.
Because here's the thing. He's booking comedy shows here in L.A.
Oh, really?
He's booking comedy shows, and from without being his best friend and talking to him on a daily basis, I think it's unfair to say that isn't what he wanted.
Sure.
What he wanted was to be involved in show business. He's more involved in show business than either one of us, in my opinion. I mean, I make my living, right? But so does he.
Yeah.
I now have to have a side job of unclogging toilets and dealing with cops in the middle of the night. He gives tours of stars' homes. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. And I hear your point, and it's a very balanced and passionate point. But what I'm saying, in the long run, for Larry Lawrence and everybody that is considering moving to L.A., if you pour yourself into something that isn't capable of loving you and giving back to you, you're going to die, and it's just going to suck you dry. Because if all you want is to succeed in acting, it's never going to be enough. And when you do, you're going to find out that it's an empty, hollow victory.
But don't you think it's fair, though, to say that if it does suck that life out of you, that it's not what you wanted? You know what I mean?
No. Right? That's what I'm saying. Is that you may, because I may think I want to be.
When you came to L.A., what did you want to do?
I wanted to have a full time job somewhere, or not a full time. I wanted to have a paycheck week to week.
That's what you wanted,
and
that's why you moved to Los Angeles.
And my skill set was in the entertainment industry.
Yeah.
So I moved to a city that had theme parks that were open 365 days.
Because you're like, I know I could get a full time job. But I'm saying in the spectrum of your life.
Yeah.
you said, I want a full-time job.
I said, I said, I need a job that pays regularly, and I can't find one in my industry in this town.
In the Bay Area. Yeah. So the industry of entertainment, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you came here. Is that what you ended up finding?
Instantly.
Instantly, you went to, so you were working in theme parks.
But see, I wasn't worshiping acting. I didn't come down here begging for someone to validate me in my performance skills. That's never what it was.
No, that's not my point. My point is that what you're doing now mm-hmm. is different than what you came here to do.
Sure. Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
And would you agree that what you're doing now is better than what you were doing before?
No, I would not. You would
prefer to go back to what you were doing before?
Maybe not. I'd say they're equal.
They're equal.
Yeah, I would say that they're both jobs that pay me, and that's what
I
wanted.
Don't you feel the job that you have now is fulfilling? Or maybe, I guess maybe what I'm doing is, from the outside looking in, is that I look at your association with the church mm-hmm. and that the relationships that you have with the people that you work with. Yeah. Is a very fulfilling thing.
From that standpoint, sure. The reason why I work at the church is because it's where God wants me to go.
Yes.
It's like that's the only reason
that's what I'm talking about. Yes.
But it's not if I had that ability, what I'm saying is if I made that choice to worship something that was completely self-serving in a job I didn't want, I would abandon my job at the church and put my wife and I in peril by seeking after some ghost that I'll never catch, which could be, you know, permanent work as a voiceover actor or a writer or something.
See, and I guess from my perspective is that I because I feel like we agree, but mm-hmm. maybe I'm misunderstanding.
I feel like this is NPR.
Really?
Yeah, it's a little
NPR-ish.
Well, it just
I feel like there's
debated.
More passion than in part yeah, than NPR.
That's probably true.
We should be talking monotone.
It's more like liberal radio because they get really angry about stuff.
Oh, I'm doing liberal radio. We got to stop this right now. We should stop this right now.
Well, maybe it's liberal and conservative. I don't know. It's some sort of political talk show.
I don't. I think it's social political. But yeah. Here's my point. My point is that I think that you found this job because you're saying this is where God wants me because God is what you worship. You mm-hmm. see what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
God is what you where you want to be. Now there are other people. That doesn't just mean because I worship God that I, you know, like Virginia is a listener of faith, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
She doesn't work at a church.
But I will go so far as to say that if you worship your career, you will fail.
Oh, I see what you're saying. So if the career is the thing that you worship,
exactly.
I think it's a lie that's propagated
by Americans that success is the thing that we must achieve, not kindness. Not selflessness, but your own success. You, if you're someone that is, you know, a diamond in the rough that pulled you up by your own bootstraps and made yourself into somebody of acclaim.
We like that.
That's the success yeah. story that Americans like. And I think that that is an insidious lie that has been just slipped underneath the foundation of all Americans' mindset.
But it's true, though.
I don't think so. Go to another country and they won't agree.
But that's the whole point. That's the that's the idea of America. That's the
right.
What you're saying is a lie.
Right. Oh, so
foundation of what has been built is see, that people with nothing have created. That's what that is. Who we idolize. I see what you're saying.
And see, my point is that inside of that story, if you were just to say that's the American dream or that's an American success story, would be enough. But you have to admit that there is a slight insinuation that it's better. That because we are people that can make nothing out of something, we look at countries that don't do that, Mexico, India.
We look at that here, though, too, where it's like for an example of that, I think, is Paris Hilton. Mm-hmm. One of the things that makes her unlikable is that she has had her wealth handed to her.
Yeah, yeah.
And she
exploits it. Oh, no, no. I'm saying if you look at
it
the other way, you look at people that are, if you're not trying to achieve success.
So you're saying we see other countries where you can't do that. Like, for example, like what you experienced in India, where it's a class system that if you're born into a certain class,
yeah.
That's where you are.
But even further than that, you see one individual, if they're not attempting to make themselves a viral internet sensation in India, then they're wasting their life.
Oh, no.
I think that that's the insinuation by saying that it's this American dream.
No.
It's the better ideal. Success is the true goal.
Pursuit of happiness. That's what I'm saying is what the American dream is. If it makes, I'll use myself as an example. If it makes me unbelievably happy, the idea to have a Tonight Show appearance and mm-hmm. eventually have an hour HBO special,
right.
Then I will fight and dig and claw and scratch and do whatever I can to do that.
Yeah.
Now, that could very well be at the expense of my marriage and my child.
Right.
And my relationship
and
with
them. And to make
it
worse, when you succeed at that, you will find it to be an empty, hollow victory.
I don't know that.
But it will be.
I don't
know.
Because
once you get there, what are you going to do then?
Because I look back at accomplishments that I've made. Because this is like what I was talking about last week on the show, is that what the struggles that I have with stand-up and with what I do for a living are with what are really my passions. What am I really passionate about? The little son of a bitch behind me hitting me with a balloon is the light of my life. The woman upstairs that takes care of him when I'm gone is the light of my life.
She would be the bitch in that example of the son of a bitch.
Yes.
Right.
Hey, hi, hi. And it's so that's what happens. What happens is I like making people laugh. I like the feeling that it gives me. Mm-hmm. But now I'm starting to have this really, what I feel, a very good and deep connection with my son.
Yeah.
Where he wants me there and I want to be there. Mm-hmm. And if stand-up gets in the way of that, then I just let it go because right. I don't want it that bad.
And
the other point I want to make, though, is that I think to go into it assuming that everybody who pursues a dream, for the most part, is destined to fail is... What? You want to watch Monsters, Inc.? All right, go get... Can you ask Mom to do it for me? I had a really hard time talking about how much I love my son and then ignoring him.
Yeah. Well, what I don't understand is how he gets down here. Like, how did he get down here by himself?
She's cleaning up the bathroom.
Oh.
Go upstairs and ask her. You're 2 years old and we're already having that conversation that you have to go to her face, look into her face and say, Mama, can I watch Monsters and Aliens, please? No, hello, Jacob Michael. I said, go to her face. Like, this is her face. Go like to her face and say it. Don't yell it at her. Okay? All right, thank you.
I think he understood. That's the creepy part.
See what I'm saying?
Your child's a part of a protege.
That's what fulfills me. And what I was saying before he interrupted me was that I think it doesn't help. It hurts to if we had a society that was taught that you're born and you exist and everything is already predetermined.
No, I'm not saying that at all. I'm simply saying that statistically speaking, that somebody that comes to L.A., with the anticipation that they are going to be the next big movie star, is not. It is like winning
the odds are minimal.
Very
almost to none. Yeah.
Exactly, almost to none. And yet, most people would believe that they just need to get their lucky shot. And if you keep banking on this lucky shot, you put all of your emotional energy into this. When is that? All I need is that break. All I need is that break. And when it doesn't come, you're going to break.
See, and maybe we're talking about two different things, because I do agree with that. I do agree that if you come here to anything, if let's take the show business aspect out of it. Say
you want to be a professional football player.
Well, no, to me, I wanted to use something that's more applicable, easier to connect to, like a teacher, like say a school teacher. Let's take that example. I like taxidermist, though. Yes, that's even better. A taxidermist. You want to be a taxidermist. That's what you want to do. But instead of doing what it takes and going through the process, like, for example, say you don't have, there's no taxidermist in your hometown. There's you live in on a farm that's 20 miles away from everything, and you have no idea. You have no internet, no anything. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
So you want to be a taxidermist. If you're just sitting at your farm hoping that a taxidermist is going to show up and give you your lucky break and go, I need an assistant.
Sure.
And that's what you hope. And just that's what I don't like to use the word pray, because I think that implies faith into it. And that's not my point. But you're just waiting and you're just desperately needing them to show up. Then, yes, that's going to be empty.
Right.
But if your ambition is to become a taxidermist and your first thing is like, you know what, Dad, I need to borrow the car, or will you please drive me because I'm 15 years old and I found a taxidermist that is 20 miles away or 40 miles away and I just want to go sit down and talk to this guy about his job. Dad takes you, or you.
Yeah.
And if Dad says, no, I can't do it, then you go, okay, if I get enough money, can I buy a bus ticket and then go? And Dad says, sure, do whatever you got to do. So then you bust your ass, you get a bus ticket, you go there. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah,
you through the steps.
I understand
your
point.
I think that there is that same thing with getting into the entertainment industry.
Right.
That you, if you come here from Indiana and you're a farm boy and you want to be the next Ashton Kutcher, okay, and that is your ambition, and you come to Los Angeles figuring, I'm going to walk around with only two buttons of my shirt buttoned and shave my chest and spend my time working out, and eventually this is going to work out. No, that's not how it worked for Ashton Kutcher.
No, I get it.
You know what I mean?
And I agree. And so I see you're putting, you're a unique person because you're, one, genuine, which most people who live in this town are not. And two, you are driven, which most people in this town are not.
Most people in the world aren't.
Exactly. Yeah. So that you are looking at things from a perspective that's how you would approach things. Most people do not approach them that way. So through that lens, all that information comes. But so if you're saying that if someone has enough drive, they're more likely to succeed than someone who's not, Absolutely. What I'm saying is that by in that pursuit, if these people, if that person that has that dream to become a taxidermist is doing it for the wrong reasons,
yes.
say he needs to stay at
yes.
home because his family is relying on his income in order to take care of their sick family members, or in doing so, once he arrives to the taxidermist city, he's ruthless in his relationships. He doesn't take a call with anybody unless they're giving him a taxidermy job. He is, all of his relationships are defined by this. And when he actually either A, does not succeed in taxidermy, finally realizes that it's an inroad and he's just not going to be an astronaut, not going to be a taxidermist, not going to be an NBA player, not going to be a superstar musician. He then hates the world and blames everybody around him for his unsuccess. That's what I'm talking about, that breaking point. Or B, does succeed by some miracle and somehow becomes the greatest taxidermist, NBA Jams, music rock star, then you all you've done is gone up to the next level in the game, because now you've achieved the thing that you've spent years dreaming, scheming, destroying the rest of your relationships in your life to achieve. And now what? It's an empty, hollow victory.
Right. So just like I'm using the lens of driven, you're using the lens of fulfillment through a different, I want to say, and tell me if I'm speaking out of turn, through your relationship with God. That
yeah.
what your point is that through your lens, developing a relationship with God is the only way to feel completely fulfilled as
Correct.
A person.
Yes.
So what I think could be unfair is that someone who achieves that success may be fulfilled by that. I think there are examples of somebody who gets there, like, because we've seen him, you know, Scrooge is the first example that comes to mind.
Awesome.
You know what I mean?
Where Which is a Christian story.
He's a guy who is, he's at the top of his game, but he's miserable. But here's my point, though.
Yeah.
What they always use and what they always try to teach is that relationships is what ultimately makes people happy.
Mm-hmm.
And I disagree. I don't think that relationships between two humans is what makes every person on this planet go round.
I agree completely.
There are few people who like, and that's my point. There are few people who are driven and completely fulfilled
yeah.
by their job, and that's all they need to do. And if you do knock up some chick on your way to becoming the best taxidermist Indiana has to offer, and you destroy your relationship with your wife and your child through that process, what I'm saying is your wife and child are better off through that destruction
mm-hmm.
because your focus is not on them. Now they can move on and find a new stepdad who just wants to sit in Indiana and play catch with his kid and love his wife.
Yeah, and that's again, that really good macro zoomed out where the ends justifies the means perspective. But to go back to your original point, which is that we have different lenses, drive versus faith-based.
Yeah.
The difference is that you were born with this desire to be driven. This is what I'm describing. My perspective is a learn perspective. Through trial and error, I certainly was a driven
person. My drive is learned, I think. It's through the example of my parents and my grandparents.
I think your genuineness and your drive has been in part of you. It's who you are at your core.
Yes.
But because of what
is around me.
Right.
I don't think it's a genetic, it's not a genetic thing to be driven.
No, but
I think it's a learned thing.
That's not my point. It's just that this is...
You're saying it's at the core of my being.
It's the core of who you are. My instincts are not to. I am not advocating a part that I was born.
You were not. Yeah. I see what you're saying. You're saying I came out of a household
yeah.
that was taught to be driven and to push and drive and struggle.
And I think you
didn't come into a household that was like, Christ is your Lord and Savior.
Exactly.
Develop your relationship with God. This is something that you've learned and developed.
And by saying that, I say I've seen, watched people in my life have these drives to do things like become great actors, become great musicians, and throw their lives away and suck Los Angeles dry and come here, resist the temptation continuously to put on an emo Facebook status to say, please do not move to my town if you think you're going to be the next musician. We are only accepting people who want to work at the DMV and the grocery
stores.
It
just kills me, the idea of telling people not to move to Los Angeles if it's what they want to do. I don't know why it drives me up a wall, but it does. That's the only reason why I've spent the last 45 minutes talking about
this. Has it been 45 minutes?
Yeah, we're almost done.
Oh, this is not the 100th
Hold
episode.
On. This is a great episode.
This is not the 100th of the second funniest podcast.
This is a great episode.
This is a debate on social and faith-based.
What do you want? You want to do another one? No, you don't.
Yes, we have some very lovely.
We go long.
This is not. No, people are going to want to call
in. You want to delete this? I would not delete this.
We've asked people to call in and give us birthday messages, and they're going to be waiting to get to their message, and they're thinking, we're going to do some really funny things. We're going to talk about Christmas presents and birthdays.
Here's what
gifts,
we could do.
Man. Our favorite episodes, and instead we've been debating faith versus achievement.
Why don't we do this? Why don't we stop it here?
This is the most disappointing 100th episode ever.
We'll do another beginning chunk. We'll do a happy chunk,
okay,
right, after this.
Okay.
And we'll lead into all the voicemails that we have, and at the end we'll say, okay, here's what we just did for an hour.
Okay, that'll be good.
And if you're on board, then go for it. If you don't want to, then fine.
Sure. I love that point.
Or we could just go right into the
Let's not put this in the front. Because in the beginning, all that stuff about the police was in there. And
all right.
I failed you.
No, you haven't. Here's the thing. I love this stuff. This is great. It's
all right,
interesting.
Fine. Let's just leave it how it is.
It's interesting. It's compelling. It's you and I talking passionately about things that we feel passionate about. I think it's a perfect example of what 100th episode of the Second Funniest Podcast.
Man.
Because there are so many times that we are not funny. And what to me also, what I think can be easily lost is that there are a lot of people sitting there while my son is looking at a blank TV screen.
He's waiting for Monsters, Aliens. He's very patient.
There are a lot of people who are sitting there going, I cannot believe that these guys are having a serious conversation about this. And they're laughing their asses off.
This is why we don't have listeners.
No.
All right,
we don't have listeners because not enough people have heard this show. There are a lot of people who would love this stuff.
You think?
I've had conversations with people who love this show, and they love everything that we talk. Like, I remember the first time that Virginia called in and said how much she appreciates.
But she knew
how
us.
Honest you... No.
All right.
It doesn't matter.
She didn't know us?
No,
I remember knowing her before this podcast.
I'm saying the point that how much she appreciates that you are open and honest about your faith. I'm saying Virginia would say that about anyone. She happened upon the show because she knows us. She doesn't feel the way she feels about the show because she knows us. I think that she knew about the show. And then because, like, think of this David Plummer guy. You know what I mean? And he thinks it's funny.
Yeah, I go
he likes it.
Him.
What?
No.
You got me. Yeah.
All right, fine. We won't edit it.
All right.
We'll just keep it. Happy 100th episode. Bah, frickin' humbug.
Come on. We'll go a little long. We'll do some voicemails. Kevin had this great idea, and it was such a great idea. An unusual Second Funnies podcast. Anytime we plan something, it never goes according to plan.
It's my fault.
It's not your fault.
I'm just shame-based.
I don't even know what that means.
I don't either.
Oh, gosh. It's not bad. I don't want you to walk away from this thinking this is
No, this has been the best. This has been the second funniest episode we've ever done.
I think this is definitely one of our best.
Really?
Yeah. So here's what
I'm
saying.
If you like it, then that's all that matters.
I'm saying you can't take blame because if I really thought this was uninteresting, I would have gone away. I would have easily, you know what I mean?
You would have just left the room.
I would have turned it off. I wouldn't leave the room.
Oh,
it's my house.
Yeah.
It's a living room. It's big, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I could just go upstairs. That's rude. So anyway, we had a lot of people. Kevin had this great idea for our 100th episode to have people call in and say happy 100th episode to us. We have a ton of voicemails, and we'll just go through them and react to them.
Listen. All right. That'll be great.
Yeah, Mr. and Mrs. Cupcakes. Congratulations on the 100th episode of the JK funniest, second funniest podcast in the world.
He's drunk.
This is Justin
totally
and Summer. Congratulations to you guys. Have a beautiful evening. Wish we could be there in celebration. Make sure you have lots of Coronas and Cervezas for
us. Drunk.
He have a beautiful drunk. Night.
Justin and Summer were on episode 2 of the Second Funniest Podcast, and then Justin was on recently.
I like the idea of celebration after the episode we just did. That's great.
That's great. This has been a great
time. Hello, guys. It's Virginia, the bra lady.
We were just talking about
I haven't heard from you or talked to you guys in a while, so I'm just calling to say hello, and I hope you guys are having a good time laughing because you guys make me laugh at work still, and people know when I'm laughing at work that I'm listening to your podcast.
Well, you got a funny one today.
So I hope you have a good time and keep making me laugh. Love you guys. Bye.
Not every day.
Yeah. If you laughed at this one, you have an interesting sense of humor.
Oh, that's so funny to me. I don't think I could do a completely just cheesy, funny show. I don't know.
With all yucks and no serious.
Yeah.
Hey, guys. It's Laura fucking Lindbeck. That's it. I love you guys, and I miss you so much, and I got to talk to Justin the other day, which made me super happy. I've been meaning to call in, mostly because I want to know if it's my voice that's on the intro that says, when I die, it's going to really piss me off, and if it is, do I always sound that whiny? And if that's not me, who is that bitch that stole my line? Because that's my line. So I'm actually coming down to L.A. for New Year's Eve and staying for a couple days. And I'd love to see you guys. I'm sorry, this is kind of like personal. So, hey, everyone in L.A., I'm coming down to L.A. And I don't know if you know this, but I'm moving there next summer. So I'd love to talk about that.
Don't come if you're pursuing your dream.
You guys, congratulations on having 100 episodes. Talk to you later. Okay, bye.
The best part is she knows Courtney pretty well.
Yeah, that's Courtney Pong, Lorelei Beck. Yep. So you could punch that Asian bitch in the face next time you see her at Comedy Sports San Jose.
Because when she dies, it's going to piss you off.
Yeah.
You
know, and it's, I don't think Courtney just said that as a joke or a line. I think we were actually talking about the idea of death.
Yeah, it was completely within context.
I can't remember. It's an episode that you could still get. Just go back and look for Courtney Pong.
And yes, Laura, Courtney is always that whiny.
Yeah.
So
no, she's not that whiny. She talks fast.
Whinier.
That's the slowest part I could find her. I don't even think she listens still. That's what's the best part. She's not going to even hear her calling her a bitch. That's awesome. Here's the next one.
Hey, what's up? It's Darren Carter, the party starter. Congratulations, guys. 100 episodes. It's crazy. It really is crazy because I think I've listened to every single episode. Guys, I want to thank you guys for having me on, and I want to wish you continued success. Congratulations on your marriage and and you got all the babies and everything. And there's so much that's happened over the last I want to say 2 years, but I don't know if it's been 2 years, but 100 episodes. Oh, yeah. Golly. Hey, man, you guys keep it up, and I'll keep listening. Thank you, Darren Carter. I'm out. Wow, wow, the big Snoop Dogg.
He didn't mean your and mine marriages.
He meant your marriage.
Oh, God. He started a lot of stuff. You've had a baby since we've done this podcast.
Exactly.
You've moved. Your best friend got married. Lots happened for you.
Yes.
It's been big. You were best man in a wedding.
I know. Your wedding.
Yeah.
Most of the big things have been your wedding, I guess.
Yeah, I think so.
I guess. While he's there, I want to make sure that you guys, if you're fans of podcasts and you're like, you know what? I need more podcasts to fill my day because sometimes I'm actually listening to a radio and that's bullshit.
Dads are more fun.
Or if you're not a dad and you're like, that's bullshit, go to the Dangerous Dick and Darren show if you do a search for that. Darren Carter does a great podcast with, I think he's a, I want to say former radio personality. Used to be a radio talk show host here in LA before they shut down the Talk FM station. And his name's Dangerous Dick. And they do a great show. It's a really, really fun show, really good show. Very similar to the format of this one where it's just two white guys talking. Occasionally they have guests and stuff.
But he says crazy ginger.
Yes, he does. Well, and I like the show. I like being on it. I need to get on it again because evidently I've made them feel like every time I'm on it, I complain about their equipment and tell them they need to get rid of it.
Oh, you're their Joseph Barkley. Oh, the circle is complete. I think I just killed you, you hypocritical bastard.
Not cool. Not cool. Huh? For a second, I thought you had me.
Yeah.
But the reality is, they asked me what I thought.
Oh, well.
Yeah, suck on that, JB.
All right, okay.
All right, we got another message. Or did we?
Hey, Second Funniest Podcast. This is Jeremy.
Hey!
Yeah!
Congratulations, guys, on 100 episodes of this podcast plus the JK show. You guys are kind of cheating, saying, 100 episodes, Second Funniest Podcast. But we'll let it slide.
In
honor
show.
Of this, I'm going to give you 100 reasons why I like you and your podcast.
He'll do it,
number
too.
Number one.
Oh, no.
Justin and Kevin are funny. Number two, hi, Natalie. Number three, Jacob's cool. You should have him on as a guest.
You think he's 12.
100.
He's
it's an awesome show. Okay, I miss you guys. I'm going to go ahead and listen to you. Also kind of sad because I was waiting forever for your last two episodes, and it took like 3 weeks to post. What's up with that? Dropping the ball. Okay,
wow.
I'm going to go listen to your emails episode number 246. Okay, bye.
We take one night off.
That guy.
We take one night off and the whole world crumbles.
His world.
It's probably true.
I'm really glad we ended it this way. I think this is a much better way to do this. This is fun.
I'm feeling the repair.
I'm honestly trying not to cry here because I guess I am that sensitive. This is really sweet.
Too cool.
This is a great idea, Mr. Miller.
Well, you're welcome. It's my gift to you. Merry Christmas.
This is a long one. Buckle up.
Hey,
people.
Justin and Kevin. Or if you shorten it, it would make Jevin. It's Jeremy. What up, Jeremy? And I just want to say congrats. I'm here that it's a 100 episode. And, you know. Actually, I don't even want to say congrats. because I think it's a bunch of crap that you stole my idea and started this podcast and then didn't even invite me. And I know why. I know why you guys did this. I remember, you know, distinctly getting an audition that both Kevin and I were trying out for, some ninja brother thing.
Oh, dear God.
So Kevin's been mad at me ever since then, but this was our idea, guys. You know,
Jordan got that part.
We went to that restaurant up in Palo Alto every Thursday and talked about this hours on end, and now you guys are off doing it. You know, and I know that Kevin doesn't want me there out of just pure jealousy, and Justin, I think, would have me there, but he's so bad at keeping in touch. I mean, I literally write him emails every week and have nothing returned. And also, you know, I've gone out and stuck my neck online several times for you, Justin. I helped you realize your dream. You once told me you wanted to be a dancer in, like, a dance and musical company, and I got you, like, a huge audition and got you in.
Not true.
And let me tell you, that was an easy thing to do. I had to really, you know, take
also
one to
true.
The director for that one. Anyhow,
San Jose State.
I still like Natalie and Kat, so I hope this doesn't affect them. Yeah, I guess congratulations on having 100 episodes of my idea. Okay, I still love you guys. Let's plan our guy date, you know, that weekend getaway for just the three of us sometime soon.
Oh, yeah, we got to do that.
Bye.
He started out really happy, and then it kind of downslid.
Classic Jeremy.
Yeah.
I kept interrupting because everybody should understand the bit that everything he said was a bold-faced lie.
Oh.
He's saying that we don't keep in touch very well. That's why I wanted to do the idea. When he came down for your wedding.
Yeah, I remember.
I think it was before your wedding. He came down and took a workshop. Yeah. And he stayed here, and we hung out almost every night, and it was just fun. One night, we just stayed up bullshitting and playing cards, I think, or something stupid.
Yeah, we played dominoes.
That's what it was. Sorry, I'm getting a cramp in my neck for some reason. And it was a lot of fun, so we decided we're going to do, because we used to go to college together every day and hang out. And
every day, we were, like, enrolled at college.
Wait, are you mocking
me? That's why we were there every day.
All right, let's do the next one then.
Second
Don't shit on my happy feeling. Yeah. I'm on a nice cloud right now.
You're welcome.
I know.
This was my idea.
Yeah, but now you're shitting on my idea.
You see? That's what happens when you put your hopes.
Oh, I was hoping you were going to bring back how I shit on your idea earlier. That's what I thought you were going to do. Next voicemail. Another long one. Buckle up.
Hey, second funniest podcast. It's Kira Sultanovich calling. I just wanted to say happy 100. Oh, my God, where does the time go? I remember when you were just a tween podcast, and you got your first hard-on, and it was like you were so nervous, and you called me. You're like, what do I do? And I was like, don't worry. You'll grow out of it. And here you are, 100. Amazing. And you look fantastic, by the way. I don't know if you're getting podcasts Talks or what you're doing, you're working out, you change your diet, but you really do look amazing. And I would never say 100. And I'm just excited for you, and there's so many memories flooding back. Oh, I remember when you had that midlife crisis as a podcast, you got a Corvette. I was like, whoa, podcast, what are you doing? But you grew out of that too. So happy 100, and here's to another 100, which makes you 200. And in podcast years, that's like, oof, like 7 minutes. Love you.
Oh, Kira Sultanovich, I miss her.
When I emailed her over Facebook, I just said, hey, if you could leave a message tonight, that'd be great. And she wrote back and says, hey, Kevin, I just got this. What kind of message would you like me to leave? And I said, a simple happy 100th episode congrats message would be good. Think of it like a birthday. And she wrote back and said, got it. And I think she really did get it. She took it very literally.
See, this one makes me think of is that it's, I guess, kind of what you were talking about, where I feel disconnected. Like, Kara is somebody that I really do care about. I really do like her. She's an amazing human being, and now I'm going to get all girly and
it's
try
applicable.
Not to cry.
Yeah, don't cry. Happy birthday. Merry
Thank
Christmas.
You, this is great. I love it. Thank you,
How
Kira.
How many more do we have?
I hope she's listening, because I miss that chick.
Not live, though.
I wish she was my neighbor.
She probably skipped through all that conversation we just had.
No. No, she didn't listen. She didn't listen at all. I should send her an email. Here's another one.
Hello, Justin and Kevin. This is Bill Glass, Justin's partner on the Dad's More Fun podcast.
Emphasis on partner.
A happy 100th episode. As I sit here as a nearly 40-year-old man being diagnosed with diverticulitis and eating blended food along with my 3-year-old and my 5-year-old, it's ironic, I think, that I can no longer poop in the potty and Griffin won't poop in the potty, but that's on our podcast, not your podcast. So I just wanted to say congratulations on 100 episodes. It's so nice that you bring joy to your listeners. Enjoy this episode while I sit and puree some soup and contemplate my mortality as I don't know the next time I'll be able to drop a deuce is.
How old is he?
So, yay for you guys. 100 episodes. I'm going to go try to drum up something that'll make me take a shit. That's my life right now. So, yeah. Disgust. Bye.
I need to listen to you guys' podcast.
Drum up something to help me take a shit. It's so funny. That man is so good at playing miserable. Like, unbelievably. Like, that's his thing.
Wow. he just seems pretty positive.
Yeah, he's like, it's so great because I sit across from him every week. And he's very happy with his life, but he gets so quickly just clicks right into that just misery and self-loathing. What he was explaining for anybody who doesn't have a pre-med degree is he has some form of diverticulitis, which means he's got blockage in his intestines. So he's got to have a scan to see where the blockage is.
Oh, man.
And then they're going to have to try and do something to try and clear the blockage. Yep. And that's why he's saying he's essentially incredibly constipated.
Oh, that sucks. How long has it been since?
And it's so great because for the past year, we have heard every episode him talk about his kid trying to squat in the corner and get all red face and launch some ass candy. And he can't.
Aww.
It's like it's come full circle because it was last year we did that. Oh, that's very funny to me. Oh, damn it. That's
it's like
great.
Two sides of a coin. You know, the next time I take a poop, I'm going to think of Bill Glass.
Yep, you should. Like, let's all take a shit for Bill Glass, everybody.
Ah, number two.
Let's have a BM for BG, y'all. Here's the next one.
Hi, it's Evelyn. I just wanted to call to wish you guys a happy 100th. I am your biggest fan. Seriously. All 2 or 3 podcasts that I've listened to have been awesome. So I can't wait until 153. Yay. All right. Bye.
It's like January of 2012. It's a very specific one.
Oh, that's funny. What's this one then?
Hi. This is Christian, first-time caller, long-time listener.
Also a lot.
I wanted to say hello and congratulations to you on your 100th podcasting event. And I just have one question. This question's for Justin. Justin, do you think that you could ask your wife to play her move in Words with Friends? We're in the middle of the game, and it's her turn. So, yeah, if you could do that, I'd greatly appreciate it. Thanks. Bye.
Thanks, Christian.
Natalie, Christian wants you to play your turn in Words for Friends.
Words
he just
friends.
Called into for our 100th episode voicemail. All right, there we go. That's what we offer here. Yeah. This one, let's see, not very long, but I know who this is. He's one of our most popular guests. This is my father, if I'm not mistaken, because it's caller ID blocked.
Hey, it's your father calling all the way from Telford, Pennsylvania. Heard a rumor that this was your 100th episode recording. Congratulations, you're doing a great job. I love you and have fun. Bye-bye.
Oh, that was very nice of him.
Classic dad. That's great.
Yeah.
That's not my father's usually more loquacious, but I mostly so live. But that's like classic comedic dad guy who's undertoned and playing it straight.
Doesn't want the spotlight.
Yeah.
Doesn't know how to be funny in the moment. Yeah.
But supportive and loving. And my dad actually, I was going to talk about this on the other podcast too, but I had some rough shows in Alabama. My dad said some really unbelievably kind words to me. So. That's why I'm saying I think that what he's saying right now
has a little bit of that undertone because it's only been about a week.
A little encouraging.
We had a very, very
nice. Was that at the Stardome?
Yeah.
I thought those were really good shows.
They were at the end of the week.
Oh.
Beginning of the week. Yeah, well, let's just say I was struggling for about the first 10 minutes of a 20-minute set. Ooh. So, yeah.
So half of it.
So then he helped me figure out why I was struggling. And then he said, you, what is it? He said, how do you put this? He said, you are destined. I think he said something like, you are destined for greatness. Don't get, there's greatness in you. Don't get in its way. That's how he put it, which I thought was very, very sweet. He said, that's I love nice. You. I'm very proud of you. And now more voicemails now that I'm in this mindset. And I love everybody.
Hey, Mark and Brian. This is Teresa and Jeremy calling to wish you guys a congratulations on your 100th podcast. We're both longtime listeners, first-time callers. And by that, I mean we haven't listened to the show, but we know people who have listened to it for a long time, and they've liked it. So now that you've done 100, you've just warmed up for us, so maybe we'll tune in. Congrats, you guys. We love you. Sort of. And we are celebrating at Disneyland for your 100th episode. So thanks for that. All right. Listen to you, maybe.
Did her fiance Jeremy do a Greedo in the background?
I think so.
Was it like, oh, oh, oh.
And she also recycled that joke because
what
I,
joke?
Well, I called her today to remind her to call, and I said, "Oh, what do you? Today's Debbie's birthday. Why aren't you in Colorado?" Her old roommate who moved to Colorado, and she says, "Oh, we're going to Disneyland." And I said, "Does Debbie know that?" She said, "It's a surprise," so which she cracked herself up.
Surprise for Debbie that they're not going to be
that they're going to be at Disneyland for her birthday, and so she's kind of recycling that joke there. It's good though,
which is classic Teresa, from what I understand that's of your relationship.
Yeah, that's right.
Another bookend.
Yeah, take another that. Oh, listen to episode 6.
Never going to hear it. Never going to hear it.
She doesn't listen.
This one's from your lovely lady, I think.
Hey, or her dad.
Happy 100th anniversary! You guys are like 100 years old now, or a century old, or something. Hope it's going well. I've loved listening to you all, being married to one of you, friends with one of you. It's just fabulous. Okay, congrats. Bye. Oh, it's Kat.
That's a great way to end it.
Is that the last one?
That's the last one.
Oh, yay.
Oh, man. Well, let's see. Reflecting back on what originally started off as a way for me to create sticky content for my website and my stand-up career, and then was just a show that you and I would sit and talk about what's going on in your life and in my life. And then I was in therapy. Remember the first year?
That.
We talked a lot about my personal and emotional issues.
Before that, it was kind of this podcast was therapy.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
There was a lot of that.
Yeah. Then we went through the phase where we had a lot of comics, had a few great names, I think, on here. A lot of good episodes.
Some
Greg Hahn.
Yeah.
Michael Loftus is one of my favorite comics still to this day. Kira Sultanovich, one of my favorite guests. That was good times. Our old drinker buddy, Jay Dobbs.
He didn't get to call in. Costa didn't call in.
Maybe he'll be in on another episode. Mm-hmm. And now look at us. Now we talk about video games, nerdy stuff.
We don't even do trivia challenges anymore. We were doing that for a while.
Yeah, that's right. Good. Well, we haven't gotten any from the listeners. They can tell us if they want to do one.
Yeah.
I think it's good times.
It's a good show.
What do you think of 100 episodes?
I think we've done 100. 100 of them. Have I been in 100 episodes? You've done 100. I don't know if I've done 100. I think I've done
98. Well, now what I do is this year, what I started doing is that if it's an episode that doesn't have you in it, I just call it a bonus episode. Right. Don't count it as a number.
Right.
So I think that technically we should be having in 3 more episodes would be your 100th episode.
Yeah, but it's the 100. It's okay.
It's okay.
Yeah, but whatever. We'll start fresh in the new year.
All right.
Episode 301.
Yeah. Year 3, episode 1.
I enjoy the fact that we've done this every week. I think it says a lot about the commitment to it. Because it's one thing to be like, yeah, this would be fun. We get some of the gear together. And you play around. And then a few weeks into, you're like, you want to do it? Nah. No, let's do something else. I think it's a testament to our loyalty to projects that
we've now completed 2 years.
2 years.
Of doing this every week. Give or take 1 or 2 weeks,
and,
if that.
And our wives have been 100% supportive of it at all points in time.
Especially mine. Remember when she used to contribute as a call-in character by being annoying?
Yeah.
That was great.
That was with you.
They can't hear you, woman. Compressor or no compressor, they can't hear you. Nobody. Yeah. I'll be honest with you, dear. Only one person mentioned you
Yeah. No, maybe two.
Yeah, most, I think.
Okay, bye.
We'll look forward to next year when Jacob will be using full sentences.
Right.
And
I do want to throw this gauntlet down there that if Jeremy Carson wants to come down here, I think we open up a third microphone for him.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Why not? There's always a seat here at this table.
Oh, you wanna say? No? He looks like he's about to hurl. Yeah, come here.
Oh, boy. Oh boy. It's going to be a long night for me.
Traveling through the jungle of pillows.
All right. Here is Jacob Worsham with his own voicemail. Are you not going to say anything?
He thinks he's talking.
Can you say something?
Say happy 100th. I think he said, I can't do it.
No, he said, I can't do it. It's a very interesting phase in my child's development where now he is embarrassed by things that never used to bother him at all.
And he's slapping. But that's all right.
You want to say it now? All right, come here. Come here now. Now mom has given him courage.
Ready? I do, but you... Happy 100th birthday. Okay.
Happy birthday. Okay. At least singing. He's all right. It's fine. Good job, kiddo.
He did okay.
He did.
He could have done better.
Well, maybe we'll rehearse it and edit this out.
That'll be great.
Send us an email, show@secondfunniestpodcast.com, or give us a call, as all of these people did. Say hey.
Yeah.
I didn't get a chance because I didn't get the email or voicemail, but I want to send a message for the 100th episode.
Yeah.
Send it in. We'll play it on 301.
That's right.
Because this is the end for the year for us.
That's right.
This season finale.
That was it.
Boom.
It was the second funniest finale we've ever done.
Yeah.
It was really good.
Feels good. You want to change the name again next year?
I think so.
Okay.
Radio Playground.
Okay.
Go back to that.
I feel like we should throw the word nerd in there somewhere.
Oh, that's good. Nerd Zone, Nerds Only, Nerded Up.
Although
Nerd
David
Talk.
Plummer did find us because I hope his name's not Donald Plummer and I'm calling him David Plummer.
He doesn't. He's not a real person.
Anyway. He found us because we called the second funniest podcast, which was a part of the idea.
You know, I enter all the information on new people that come to the church. They fill out a little connect card and I put them in our database and then I email them and say, hey, you know, if you're looking for any specific part of the ministries or if you want help or whatever, let me know. And somebody wrote back and said, yeah, I'm really interested in this and this because I just moved to LA. I'm interested in stand-up. And so I wrote back and I said, well, here's answers to what you're looking for. You can find it here. And I said, on a completely personal note, I do a podcast called The Second Funniest Podcast with my buddy Justin Worsham. He's a touring comedian, worked with Heath Heitch and Darren Carter, yada, yada, yada. And then I put, like, in true Justin Worsham fashion, and then put a paragraph after that explaining why I felt it was okay to give him a plug for my show. Hey, just so you know, I don't plug my show ever to anybody. I only did it because you said you're stand-up, and I thought maybe you'd be interested. Maybe you knew some of the same people. I just want you to know that it's not my practice to just spoil, you know, to try to get people to listen to the podcast. Okay, thanks. He never wrote back.
Yeah. You have what I call a Joe Coy moment with him.
Yeah, a little. Well, I was just trying to be, like, relational. I thought, well, he's a stand-up. It's a very specific thing. Yeah. I wasn't saying,
Joe Coy hugged me when I first met him. I thought we had something going. I thought...
No, how dare you compare me to your man-loving to Joe
Coy? I thought that's what you did.
I guess.
You compared it to me. I was just returning the favor.
Turn around. Fair play.
Yep. So anyway, give us a call if you want to give us a 100th episode message. We will take that. Don't forget to please send us like an episode or if you remember a quote of some kind so we can make the new theme song for the new year.
Or I may just throw out, if you don't feel like contacting us with any of these things that we request every week, then we just simply ask you tell one person about this show. That's it.
I like it.
You know what I'm saying? So some people may not want to contribute.
Yeah. Do like kind of like what Kevin did without the over-explanation and what I did without making Joe Coy feel uncomfortable or whoever happened to
you
be running his MySpace.
You can hug him. That's
Hug a person. If you have a person who has similar interests to you and you think that they like video games and talking about goofy things or, you know, they need something
to listen to. Here's what I'd like to do with, you know, establish a name for ourselves without stupid, gimmicky, viral videos. Because we could go out and sing Christmas carols in the middle of a mall and then slap a label up at the end that says Second Funniest Podcast. But we're better than that.
Yeah.
We deliver content that is consistent. Every week we have the same amount of humor, same amount of babies.
Yep.
Pop culture references.
Yep.
tea. We always drink the same amount of tea.
And I love it. Am I finished with mine? Yeah.
Sometimes I just wait for you to cut me off.
Oh, I'm sorry. On behalf of my good friend, Kevin Miller, this is Justin Worship saying, okay, bye.
I think I popped the microphone there.
Yeah, me too.